Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 437. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is going on, sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
A lot. Preparing for the Christmas sojourn to the fine city of Altoona, Pennsylvania. always takes a little extra preparation. So there is that, and then the ensuing trip to Dayton. There is a lot of travel involved in the upcoming days. So yeah, you've also got to do a little bit of preparing for that.
That definitely sounds like a quite a bit of travel. You've got quite the week ahead.
So yeah, there's a lot going on, and there was a lot going on in the WWE universe again this week because of other scheduling conflicts. We recorded on a Wednesday night again, which has allowed us to watch it. Last week NXT was on USA. This week they tried to sucker you into the network with a 90-minute show, of which I only saw the two top matches, because of technical snafus on the WWE Network's part. I had started to watch the tag match, paused it, walked my dog, and when I came back, they took me to the Lars Sullivan versus Roderick Strong match, and I just watched from there. And figured that, you know, I do know the, well, I do know that the, obviously the tag team titles were on the line there for Sanity against, it's not Red Dragon anymore, the Undisputed Era.
Yes.
But, yeah, there's a tag team title match to lead the show off, and then the UK Championship bookended the show there. I did get a WWE Network alert that the Undisputed Era came out with the belts, which I guess I wasn't terribly surprised by, considering that Killian Dane is going to be in the singles match.
Yeah, no, it wasn't surprising at all. I think that, if anything, this was probably delayed when they decided to run with War Games for the takeover in Houston. It made sense. It makes all the sense in the world for a disputed era to start collecting championships, which made the decision to go, Drew McIntyre, ended up injured anyway. It makes a decision to go with Andrade St. Almas as NXT champion as a heel a little baffling, because you figure that you want to immediately put Adam Cole in that spot.
Right.
But right now, that's not in the cards right now with a heel champion. So I'm not sure exactly where Adam Cole fits as a single in this whole thing right now. But no, I mean, Fish and O'Reilly, they absolutely should have won the tag team championships, although I'm still not a fan of O'Reilly. Oh, just the way he walks to the ring. He's still with his phony MMA poses and phony tough guy act. It's just like, I just don't buy it. He just has no presence, but I like Fish, and he's tolerable in the tag team. I just don't like him.
I have known about your disdain for him. I've always enjoyed him in ROH, and I haven't seen him as much in the Undisputed Era to this point. But they are pretty much, the WWE has pretty much taken anyone's gimmick from, wherever they came, and just kind of putting their own spin on it these days. So it isn't surprising that O'Reilly would be doing similar things that would irritate you likewise.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, irritates is a good word for it, but no, it's the result that should have happened. Sanity, they weren't doing anything spectacular as tag team champions, and once again, the whole three team or any two of the three could defend the titles thing is just so played out at this point. Hopefully the Undisputed Era doesn't get to play by those rules. I really, really hope they don't. As I said, I'm just totally done with that. And I do feel like, obviously they've got big plans for Killian Dane. And, you know, Eric Young is, you know, what he is at this point. He's not, you're not going to get anything too surprising from him.
Right.
Alexander Wolf really hasn't shown me much, to be honest. I really still don't really see what he brings to the table. But as a complete act, you can definitely see Sanity, you know, being brought up to the main roster sooner than later, especially with the purpose of pushing Killian Dane. Killian Dane's going to probably, you know, do more in singles going forward. So, yeah, then, you know, that's Undisputed Era, be the tag team. But, man, I don't really... Tag team scene ain't quite what it used to. It ain't quite what it used to be.
Yeah, the ranks have definitely been thinned. That was one other oddball thing that I saw was the it's not War Machine because that's ROH. What are the two big guys?
Heavy Machinery.
Yeah, I saw their skit with and I don't even know the other tag team. And I was just like, oh, okay, I guess they're there.
Tino Sabatelli and Rick Moss or Riddick Moss. I think that's it. I'm not a fan of either of those teams. I'm not a fan of the Street Profits. Fish and O'Reilly have a long road ahead of them. To working with these teams going forward, unless there's another team in the pipeline for them to work going forward. Although I guess you could continue with Sanity. I don't know what they're doing with the Authors of Pain. I imagine Authors of Pain have to be going up soon. I mean, they're not the greatest, but they've shown enough, and they're not grown. They're not going to grow in NXT. They got a Fisher Cup bait up on the main roster.
Yeah, there isn't much of a challenge for them. I mean, those guys are just huge. And, I mean, they're probably still going to be big on the main roster.
Yeah. They are indeed. But, you know, over on SmackDown, I'm sure the Usos could do something with them.
Oh.
Over on Raw, I'm sure Sheamus and Cesaro could do something with them. I would say Ambrose and Rollins, but I'm sure we'll get into that later, why that's not going to be a thing for a while. I think on the main roster, this is where Authors of Pain need to be. There's no need to keep them in NXT. They're not gonna learn or grow much more there than they already have.
Yeah, agreed. They've become far more dependable, in my opinion. In a fairly short time period.
I mean, they have improved a lot. You know, in a very. When a match is well laid out for them, they can follow it to its T, I guess you could say. You know, I don't know if they'll ever be ring generals, to use a term. But, you know, they're big, they're impressive. They do some really impressive power stuff. So yeah, it's time for them. So that just leaves, you know, maybe continue with Iowa Sanity or doing, you know, maybe there's a makeshift team you could put together if you really don't want to do Heavy Machinery or the Street Profits. But I mean, there's things you could do because there's talent in NXT that's just kind of out there, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we always say there's some point down there that they're going to have to restock, and they are definitely in a restocking phase of the of the tag teams.
Yeah, and speaking of talent that's just kind of out there, how many times are they going to show that video for Roderick Strong's sob story only for him to lose?
Wow, and he didn't lose either. Like, I mean, he lost.
Because they showed the video again about his family upbringing and all that.
Oh, yeah. No, but I'm just saying that, yeah, they gave the sob story, and I mean, he got whooped for the most part, I guess is what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
He got in some offense, and it wasn't a squash by any stretch of the imagination, but I mean, I still thought that it was a pretty resounding win for Lars Sullivan.
Yeah, it's definitely a resounding win. Obviously, they've got huge hopes for him. You know, possible, you know, a fast-tracking to the main roster, you know, type situation there. You know, it's obvious, you know, it's obvious who the priority is. You know, Lars Sullivan definitely, he's got a presence. He's, once again, obviously, once again, green, but he's got potential. He shows, you know,
yeah,
he plays himself. What, he plays his character well. He's impressive to look at.
Yeah, I've only seen him a couple of times, but I mean, he really does have a real presence to him. Like, he's kind of more like that Samoa Joe kind of size 300-pound guy, where he's not overly tall, but he's a really wide guy.
The wide guy, he's just got huge proportions, huge, you know, his hands are gigantic. Because he's been a project for a while. I remember years ago when at the Performance Center, even people, you know, dating back to like Sasha Banks and Kevin Owens would like tweet out pictures of comparing their hand size to this gigantic hand of this new trainee. So,
oh, okay.
They kept him, you know, they kept him in the Performance Center, you know, for quite a while before they put him on TV. So he's been a project for, you know, 2 or 3 years now.
Yeah, well, I'd have to say, you know, from, again, from the little I've seen, like, it was time well invested. Like, he still needs to have some more in-ring time, but he definitely has a lot of potential, and he has the athleticism to do it.
Yeah, you know, he's ran through Cash Sono, he's ran through Roderick Strong now, he's running through bigger competition. Yeah, he's working his way up. I don't know if they're going to go all the way with him for the NXT title, or if they're going to go, they're going to have somewhat of an early call up for him. I mean, he'd be, you know, I'm sure that they'd love to, you know, throw him into the Royal Rumble or even the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, and maybe, well, he wouldn't win the Royal Rumble. He might win the Andre Battle Royal. Yeah, he's definitely something. Roderick Strong, maybe he needs to get a tag team partner. Maybe they should tag him and Ono up.
That is always a good plan on the main roster these days. If you're floating around aimlessly, find someone to be your tag team partner and you will get featured. So I have no problem with them doing a similar tactic on NXT. Especially, like we said, their tag division's a little rough right now, so they could use a little little extra firepower in there.
I definitely agree.
So, anyway, I guess speaking of firepower, to close out at least the portion of NXT that I saw. Tyler Dunn and,
Tyler Bate.
Or Tyler Bate. Why did I just do that?
Because they have great matches while not being given a lot of character development and promo time.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Once again, absolutely another great match. Not on the level of the match from the takeover, you know, earlier in the year, but an excellent match. Yeah. Best thing on TV. This easily the best thing on match on TV this week, including a pay per view. But they got to figure out what they want to do with this UK, this whole UK division idea. Yeah, you know, and why, and you know what, you know. Obviously, they put Pete Dunne on Raw once.
Oh, he won.
And he won. So they have to decide. Well, you know, why do they have these? Why do they have all these guys under contract? You know, why are you know? Once again, because they can go on to WWE shows, and they can steal the show, and then you don't see them for months.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I feel like because we follow some of them on Twitter there, and I mean you can see their other appearances.
Yeah. I mean they're totally allowed to make other appearances. WWE does not pay them a full time living, or barely does in any you know reasonable way. But. Yeah, so they are allowed to do all their other bookings. Pete Dunne's like, you know, able to defend his title throughout the UK Indies. WWE will even advertise his title defenses in other promotions while on WWE.com and on social media, which is a fairly unique situation. But once again, as far as what they're gonna mean. Going forward, just once again tonight, they stole the show from the NXT regulars. They did that back there, at TakeOver in Chicago. What are they? What are they going to be going forward? This is really the question.
Yeah.
The reason they were signed. The reason the WWE was started to be aggressive in the UK is because someone was. The possibility that someone was going to get network TV over there. That fell apart. So now the motivation to do a UK-centric, a weekly UK-centric television series has dissipated. So then, what do you do with these guys? Other than just having them randomly show up on NXT...
And
have great matches and overshadow everyone else. You know?
Yeah, I guess it's not a dilemma for me, but I do understand the dilemma for them.
Right? No. I'll enjoy the UK match the bones they throw on NXT. Yeah, I guess that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, but you would think that they'd want to kind of have some more organized idea as to what to do with them. Just, why else pay them? they're fantastic wrestlers, and they all seem to have, From what I think that their small sound bites have worked because they seem to have very definite personas. That even despite Tyler Bates' extremely young age, you know, it seems like he almost feels like he's been working on it for years now, like his persona. You know, because and Pete Dunne's the same way. I mean, I don't think he's all that old either. You know, that whole bruiserweight thing is just kind of a really fun ease. You know, like it doesn't seem like it's that tough of a gimmick to, you know, wrap your head around. Like, but there aren't that many. You know, I guess they try. Could you say that Drew Gulak kind of tried to pull that off? A bruiserweight type of.
I guess you could say he tried. He was that was a little, somewhat going that direction before they decided, or it became all comedy. But no, not the way Pete Dunne does present himself.
Yeah,
Pete Dunne does present himself as just a mean, angry, tough, you know, tough guy. So, and you know, he has his style, and you know, obviously him and. And Tyler Bate work very well together. Yeah, with Bate doing his more high flying moves, and then Pete Dunne, you know, doing everything he can to ground him and, you know, ground and pound. Yeah, their styles work well together. They've had two excellent matches against each other. But, you know, in the end, what does it all mean in the grand scheme of things? What they have to figure out. But until then, no, once again, a great match. I'm glad they got the. You know, I like that they got the main event position. I like the whole, you know, we're going to stick with this match until the very end. Because why wouldn't you? Because it's on the WWE fucking network.
Yeah, that's, I do always have to laugh. I'm like, it's your network, guys. Like, I understand that you still have a need to kind of show commercials and everything, but, come on.
Now, NXT does air on regular TV in other markets, including in the United Kingdom. So I don't know exactly how that's going to work, but that's not my problem. No. I mean, I like the presentation of the match. I like how they did that. Yeah, it harkens to somewhat, you know, when the idea of overruns first started during the Monday Night War, Raw, it's what it reminded me of. The Monday Night War. You know, that's what it kind of reminded me of. We're going to stick to this match to the conclusion, even as, you know, the clock was ticking down, and it sticks to this day with Raw still being technically until 11:05, even if it sometimes goes 10, be 15 minutes longer than that.
For the most part, the WWE hasn't been too bad, but yeah, they have kind of snuck in a 10 and 15 minute after stoppage times recently.
Right, but it tonight reminded me of when it first began doing things like that with WWF and WCW, when it felt more organic. Like, you know, you're pushing against the top of the next hour, and the match is still going on. They're saying, we're going to stick with this match until the conclusion. You're thinking, whew! Or of course, there was that one time WCW made their audience stick through the commercial breaks of the New Adventures of Robin Hood to see the finish of the main event, but which worked.
Yeah, they did have a lot of things that did. There were things that did work there for a time period.
Yeah, but not on Saturday. I liked everything about it. I think that it's time for it. You know, not necessarily all the UK guys, but certainly Dunn at the very least, and you know, and probably Bate to figure out a more long term plan of what to do with them. Sign them to, you know, longer term contracts and, you know, bigger money deal. Because, yeah, it, you know, it, so that it's just time. It, you know, Yeah. They've shown enough. They can get over. They could easily.
They speak English. Dunn, they can get over.
Yeah. Yeah, Dunn could definitely. Dunn certainly could get over on the main roster. I haven't seen enough of Tyler Bates' promo ability to, you know, ascertain whether I think the same would be him, but.
Right.
Obviously.
Yeah, both of them could survive.
Just throw him on, just put him on 205 Live.
Yeah, and that's what I was just going to say, actually. Just because they seem to be throwing some other people in there. Like, I think that them putting Hideo Itami in there is one of those efforts to kind of brand 205 Live as a better wrestling organization. Or brand, I guess, or whatever.
Right, yeah, it is. I believe Rockstar Spud is imminently going to be joining 205 Live. You know, they got some new talents there. They're attempting the tour, which not going well, and they're having to add Matt Hardy versus Bray Wyatt matches to all 205, schedule 205 Live dates to help bring up ticket sales, which we'll see if that works, but in the end, it was probably, you know, it was three shows and three small buildings. You live and learn, I guess.
Well, yeah. It's not like they tried to... they even thought about an arena. Because wasn't the Hammerstein Ballroom one of the locations?
I don't remember.
Because I thought it was Providence.
I don't think it was Hammerstein, actually.
Okay. Well, I remember thinking that the locations didn't seem that big, which, you know, is smart on their part to try and find. Because I would say that the place where NXT is here fits about 3,000 or so people, 3,500 maybe. Yeah. So I feel like they were shooting for something like that, which is a good plan. So, I don't know. I've got to admit, I feel like they are at least trying a little bit more with the cruiserweight division. Not a whole lot more, but, you know, more. But, these guys really need some more promo time on Raw to help things out.
Oh, the show, they only have 3 hours. Can't fit everything in.
That is true. You can't fit everything in. You need to have someone in three segments every week.
Yeah.
Speaking of the flagship show, that is probably the biggest news of the week that ended their main event, which was a brawl broke out with all the ladies of the roster. Then Stephanie McMahon came out and announced the first ever Women's Royal Rumble.
Yeah, she did that, and now something's come out that makes everything that happened make more sense to me, but we'll go through it. Stephanie, you know, she's doing the whole heavy-handed women's revolution, women's evolution speech. You know, the big rah-rah speech.
Right.
Everyone, of course, just stops fighting, and then she makes the announcement, and everyone's just tears, happy. You know, everyone who was just fighting each other is now all so happy and unity. Partially, and probably entirely because, according to Ryan Satin at Pro Wrestling Sheet, they didn't know.
Oh.
Their reactions were supposedly a total shoot. Supposedly very few people were told what Stephanie's announcement actually would be.
Well, it was kind of weird. I thought that they had kind of downplayed the announcement because when it happened, I didn't think about it. I didn't think about her coming out. But Vince McMahon does really seem to love, in certain situations, he really loves to have the person be surprised so that he can get a genuine reaction out of it. Because I feel like there are a couple other stories where it's a big moment. Like, I don't feel like he does it all the time, but like it's always one of those big kind of big moments where he kind of loves that shock.
Yeah, the big one that comes to my mind was is in one year where they did a draft, and during the original brand split, when they moved Jim Ross over to SmackDown without telling him
Oh.
anything, and he was grumpy all night.
Yeah, I kind of forgot about that one. The more I talked, I'm like, oh, come on, you can come up with one, right? Like, because I feel like there have been a couple other stories about that happening. But none of them were coming to mind. That Jim Ross one, though, was pretty hilarious.
That was a good one. They
Oh,
got him.
man. Yeah, if they did not know the announcement and that was the first time they heard it, because I guess I didn't think about it at the time, but when I started seeing the still pictures of Stephanie in the ring with all the women holding their hands up together, kind of all interlocked, I'm like, oh, that looks kind of strange. Then the other thing that I did do, I'm like, oh, I'll have to check in the morning. I'm like, I wonder how many women there are on the roster. And not completely to my surprise, there were outside of the champions of each brand who I did not count. There were 20 women and 10 per brand. It was one of those things I was just like, wow. Because I was wondering, I'm like, because I obviously saw some, people's names popping up for who people might want to see in a Women's Royal Rumble. That may not be under WWE contract currently. And I was just wondering how many empty spots they'd have, or if they'd do like a 20 woman or a 30 woman. But they could easily do a 30 woman Rumble and only need to bring in about 10 women. And I would imagine that a good chunk of those would come from the Mae Young Classic.
Well, no, more so NXT.
Well, and NXT.
And the Mae Young Classic, and then your women from the past who are obviously still in great shape. I mean, Trish, Lita, the other women from the 2000s. 2000s era women certainly. They can just name names. Both Bellas have been talking about, making a comeback. This would be ideal for them.
Right. Although
Certainly.
I think they might be in my count, or at least Nikki might be in my count.
Nikki likely would be here.
I think that she was on the on the website. Brie would be an additional though.
Yeah, Brie
So
would be an
yeah,
additional.
I think that you could fill up those 10 spots pretty quickly. Like
Yeah, you
with
could.
all three of those groups that we're talking about, I don't think you have any problems filling kind of the 10 remaining spots.
No, I mean, yeah, you could absolutely fill in the spots. The only question is, you know, time constraints and how long you want the match to go. Do you want 2-hour-long rumbles, or do you want the women's one to be a little more truncated with 20 women and, you know, 1.5, 2 minute, maybe 1 minute interval. I mean, I guess that would almost be too short. If you did 20 with 1 minute intervals, but you know,
right.
It's again, because you'd have two matches, you know, taking up more than half the show, which is fine. I mean, I love the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, so and why not have two of them?
doing two in one night is new ground, certainly.
Yeah, and I would imagine, I'd imagine that they'll end up starting the show with the women.
Yeah, I almost positive that's what's going to happen. They'll start show with the women's.
Yeah,
and that will go, you know, depending on how many women there are and the intervals, you know, that could go for anywhere from 40 to 60 minutes or no less than 30. Although if you totally do 30, then you are presenting it as half of what the men's is. I think that's probably a little too much. It's a little, yeah, you know, hit them a little too much on the nose, so to speak. But you know, you could totally do a 30 woman rumble with going an hour. I mean,
There's
nothing stopping them. I mean,
I mean, those shows have ended up being 4 hours long recently anyway. So, I mean, honestly, you lead off the show with an hour match, you have 2 hours of not hour long matches, and then you end the show with another hour long match. So, I mean, you still, get 2 hours of just kind of a regular wrestling show. Which will, you know, probably involve all the champions that won't be in their respective rumbles.
But that's where you subtract 2 from your list if Charlotte and Alexa defend their titles that way.
Oh, that is true. I'm still not seeing a problem with them filling spots.
Right? No.
But yeah. You are correct to point that out. But sometimes the challengers get it into the rumble matches. I feel like that stipulation changes from year to year about whether you can enter the rumble if you have a match earlier in the evening.
Right. It certainly is. I mean, yeah. No. It's a big deal. I have issues with how it was presented. Although when you tell me, when you find out that, you know, they found out when we found out, you understand their emotional reaction to it.
Oh, certainly.
But once again, you know, they have their narrative as far as, you know, the women's evolution is concerned, and you know, getting there, getting all the positive press they want, and also always having Stephanie's name attached to that positive press. So I didn't like it. I think you shouldn't have lost the true spirit of competition between the women. But it is what it is with the WWE and how they present this, how they present themselves.
I guess, yeah, that part, I was like, you know, I guess it was not my favorite way things went down, but much like a lot of things in the women's division, the end result is going to be a positive, so I will I will let things slide with Stephanie and her hamminess.
And we haven't even mentioned the most talked about non-current, main roster name who could make their debut in the Royal Rumble if the stars align.
Ronda Rousey, certainly there's, I know that I've seen the rumor that she was working on a deal, or maybe it was just a full-on report that she was working on a deal, because I think I saw it on Yahoo, for Pete's sake, so I guess that makes it official, right?
Yeah, of course it does.
It's just not on a dirt sheet. I mean, she certainly has her, friends are there. She can, make plenty of money, there. She has Mike's skills. If she really doesn't feel like fighting anymore, why not?
It's the right time. She could definitely come in, have a run, knock something off her bucket list, make some money.
I guess that's more what the question is. Is it going to be kind of basically a couple off thing, or is she going to kind of stick around like her lady friends have, I suppose?
Well, she'll never be full time. If anything, she'll get a Lesnar schedule, and that's what you want. I mean, you don't want her on TV every week. You don't. She would be the ultimate special attraction.
Yeah, that could really work. I guess I hadn't thought about her in that dimension, but that would be perfect, really. Always make her look strong, but keep her out of title contention half the time. doing other things. I mean, it could be a really big attraction for the network as the end result, So good for them, man. Woman, maybe I should say, actually. There are enough women wrestlers. They are of a good to great quality. So it should be fun. I mean, the Royal Rumble match itself, it's somehow weirdly a better form of a battle royal.
Yeah, absolutely. There's always someone new coming in. There's always people going out. Yeah, you have enough room in the ring because there's never that many people. There's never more than 10, 15 people in the ring at the same time. So you have room to do moves and spot and work spots. Yeah, the Rumble is usually fun. I mean, some are better than others, but
right.
Yeah, it's still fairly hard to screw up.
It always seems like there's kind of a floor on Royal Rumbles. Like, I just kind of enjoy the surprise and anticipation of each entrant. Even though you usually kind of have a general idea that the bigger name, if the bigger names are going to last, they come out super early because they don't come out between like 10 and 20 and last any length of time.
Right. Yeah.
You've either got to last the longest or you have a favorable number if you're a big name.
There can certainly be lulls during the middle of rumbles. That's certainly happened in the past when you don't have a lot of star power in there.
That's true. But The Royal Rumble will be something to look forward to this year, or the women's Royal Rumble.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm definitely looking forward to it.
And what else? I guess was there. I guess the other big announcement on Raw was Braun Strowman and Kane taking on Brock Lesnar at this event that we are already talking about.
Yeah. I mean, that was absolutely expected after last week. I don't think anyone was surprised by that announcement. It's a fine idea. I think it's almost so obvious that Kane takes the pin from Brock that I wonder if they might switch things up a bit. But I think they're committed to Brock this year, WrestleMania, and I don't think they necessarily want to go with Braun as champion going into WrestleMania. So it kind of sucks that it's predictable in that sense, but
right.
As long as they follow the SummerSlam main event template and just let them go crazy, it can be very good.
If
they don't.
Yeah, I mean, Kane has proven that he is not rusty, really, ring-wise, despite his long layoff.
Yeah, no, he's not, but once again,
Brock and Braun had a good match, at least, and you throw another big guy in there, it just kind of gives you more to work with. You know, they should be able to each have their own exchanges, move things in and out. There isn't someone that you're not believing the offense on because they're all huge. So,
right. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so, yeah, no. Yeah, it should be a solid match. With a predictable outcome, like you said.
Yeah. That's definitely the sucky part, but it should be a fun.
And I guess I was trying to. I would say that the third big piece of news from Raw is Dean Ambrose having his elbow was bandaged up before the match that he partook in. Then the elbow was not so surprisingly attacked after the match.
Yes, he had surgery today to repair his tricep surgery. Or tricep repair, excuse me. Yeah, there's no timetable on his return. Now they did say that he was released from the hospital today, and he's already begun physical therapy. Now I've never had any kind of a ligament surgery. Is being released from the hospital and being already told to begin physical therapy on day one, is that a good sign?
I'm not completely sure. It's one of those ones that it just kind of depends, I believe, you know, how severe the injury is, what was the extent. I've known people to have shoulder surgery, and they've started rehab right away, but, I mean, they're just kind of doing some really basic things to keep it limber, you know. They aren't exactly out chopping wood with the shoulder or anything like that to keep it loose.
Yeah, he had 50% of the tendon was torn away from the bone when they went in there.
I would think that he might be hung up a little bit longer, because I wouldn't say that the people that blow out their biceps are out like 6 to 8 weeks. So I guess I was thinking that kind of time frame. But who knows?
Right. None of us are doctors. Neither of us are doctors.
Yeah, I'm not a doctor, so.
Who knows? But this S.H.I.E.L.D. reunion has been cursed from the beginning. I hope they sold some extra shirts, but...
Yeah, well, it kind of had a limited shelf life in some ways. And it's really weird that it's helped to make Roman Reigns popular.
It has done that. His reactions have been softened, but that might come to a screeching halt soon.
So I mean, Ambrose is out. I mean, I wouldn't think that it would be less than a month that he's going to be gone. You know, so there's, I was kind of wondering why, I'm like, why is Seth Rollins getting involved in a singles thing? And I'm just like, oh, now I know why Dean Ambrose is having surgery on his elbow. I suppose it wasn't actually his elbow, but, yeah, I thought it was odd earlier, because who did... Rollins kind of have it. Did he have a beef with Jordan? Oh, yeah. And Samoa Joe.
Yeah. That's what it ended up being. They did the 6-man tag where they, were able to do the injury angle with Ambrose and plus the post-match beating in the backstage area. I guess, Rollins could go back. Lord knows they've done Rollins and Ambrose against the bar, enough for this lifetime. So hopefully, at the very least, it forces them to change things up there in the tag team division, although there really are no babyface teams.
Well, that's why I did kind of have to laugh when the Revival came back. I'm like, well, okay. Like you said, it's another heel team. And, yeah. You can do, and I think we've talked about it before, face versus face match, not ideal. But, you can always play the mutual respect card and still have at least somewhat of a decent build to it. Heel versus heel always ends up being trash.
Heel versus heel doesn't work. They're going to have to figure out what they're going to do there. There's not even a babyface team to bring up from NXT. We've been over that. We were over that earlier.
Well, I guess if Sanity stays as the babyface team,
we really cannot introduce Sanity as a babyface act with these four weird looking people. They're supposed to at least be heels at first, if not. I mean, they're still basically tweeners. So it'll be interesting to see where they go with the tag team division. Seth Rollins was. Before they hooked him and Ambrose back up as a tag team, he was kind of a man without a country as far as a major feud and being in the title picture. Roman Reigns is the Intercontinental Champion, so he really his running buddy, as though he loves to use that term.
Oh, right.
Is the Intercontinental Champion, so he really can't go for that. Not in the WWE title picture. They've done him versus Lesnar before. It didn't really work, but now that we're past the big peak of the Lesnar run, where they didn't want him to show any vulnerability. Now that he's bumped and sold for AJ Styles, you can certainly come back to Seth and Brock, but I don't see that's just something that they're gonna do. It doesn't seem like, because if Brock only wrestles one other time between now and WrestleMania, that's at the Royal Rumble, that match is already set in stone. So,
right.
I guess you just have Seth and Roman you know, as a team. Flash, you know, also working singles matches, you know, most of them in the Rumble. Maybe Ambrose is able to, you know, make a surprise return in the Royal Rumble. Maybe not until WrestleMania, maybe past WrestleMania. Again, no one knows at this point.
Right.
But no, it'll be interesting. Because obviously, in the coming weeks, especially when John Cena is coming back, so that certainly helps.
I forgot about that. That was another thing that I got a good chuckle out of, and I'm not sure that I wrote anything in my column about it. Seeing John Cena coming back to Raw, despite the fact that he wrestled for Team SmackDown in Survivor Series.
Yeah.
I got a little chuckle out of that. Like, I'm not going to get hung up on it. But it's just one of those things. Just like, oh, come on, guys. He could at least go back to SmackDown. But, you know, they have something in mind for him on Raw. So, whatever. Have at it.
Yeah. Gotta bring up that Christmas rating for the live show they're doing. Wow. I guess it's kind of impressive that they got Cena to agree to work Christmas.
Did he always take it off?
Well, the whole company took it off until this year. I don't know if WWE's ever done a Christmas night show since the 80s, probably.
Oh, really?
I don't think they've ever done Christmas night live. For anything, ever. Maybe house shows in the 80s when they didn't give a shit about anybody. Just had them on the road.
Well, no, I mean, I guess I'm surprised just because of how long Raw has run. You know, what day of the week Christmas is on, you know, rotates. So I'm surprised that over the course of, how many years has Raw been on air now?
It's going on 25 this coming year.
Yeah, I guess I'm a little shocked. That it hasn't been on Christmas Day. Like, I feel like it's definitely been on Christmas Eve before.
It's been. Well, they always taped the show. When was on Christmas? Or did a best of?
So they didn't really have a live show then for all of those shows, they claim.
I don't think they've done a live show. It's maybe a house show in the 80s back when they didn't give a shit about.
Oh, well, then that makes what's his name's comment even weirder. Because Vince Russo said something about that was one of the reasons I left the WWE's because I had to work Christmas.
Well, writing staff might be different. I mean, when you're in Vince McMahon's inner circle, he you are pretty much on call 24/7.
So okay, that's a fair enough point. But I guess I'm still a little shocked that that Christmas within the last 25 years hasn't fallen on Monday, except for this year. You know. But I guess I saw some people complaining about the fact that they were going to be live. But all I thought to myself was, a lot of places do this now. Like, the NBA has an all-day Christmas marathon of games. I even think that the NFL has gotten in on the Christmas fun. I don't think they have games until the evening, but I feel like they do a Christmas game most of the time now. You know, so I don't think it's completely unheard of to have a sporting event the day of Christmas.
Because I saw
some people suggesting that. I'm like, well, whatever. Well, like Russo.
I don't think it's I've never thought it was a huge deal. I mean, yeah, it happens. It was a regular part of the wrestling business. back in the territory days, some promotions did, you know, had their biggest night of the year on Christmas or Thanksgiving. Yeah, it used to be a regular part of the business. It hasn't been, so I guess, you know, you get used to having that time off, but you know, and it's again, maybe it's a little BS because in past years they have just done a taped show and then just kind of washed their hands of it. But this year they decided to go live. It's part of the business. Sorry.
Yeah, well, it kind of reminds me of my wife. When some of the residents are in her program at the hospital she works at, where they're like, "Oh, do we get the holiday off?" And she's like, "No, you're a doctor. Like, you chose this profession. Like, hospitals don't close, so doctors don't always get off holidays."
Yep. So do something stupid on the holidays. So
yeah,
you gotta keep them open.
So you know, there are just some professions that's just like, sorry, pal. If you wanted regular days off, you picked the wrong profession. I would have to say that being a sports entertainer is one of those ones that, I mean, everyone has talked about the inconvenience of being on the road, having to book your own hotel, having to book your own transport from city to city. It, you know, I guess this isn't even remotely surprising to me. And in a lot of ways should be expected. You know, again, it's kind of the profession that you chose. Get an office job where you get off all your holidays if that's what your main focus is in life.
No, I do agree. Let's see, we're at about we're an hour now. You want to breeze through SmackDown and call it a night?
Well, I would say we very smoothly moved through Raw, and since SmackDown is only 2 hours, I think that we can breeze through it in an even shorter time.
Yeah, because this show was pretty much nothing happening. They addressed the main storyline, but really didn't progress it very far with Shane and Daniel Bryan.
Right.
I mean, they both played their parts well.
Yeah, the segment itself was fine, but like you said, like the result of it really didn't change. And that was one thing. I was clearing stuff off the DVR, so I didn't actually watch a Clash of Champions. But I got enough information on SmackDown to know what happened without watching. So, you know, yeah, they played their parts well. It was a good segment, and, but yeah, it still didn't go anywhere. So we're just kind of in a, wait and see situation. I mean, it certainly seems to me clearer that, there's quite the chance that Daniel Bryan does make an in-ring comeback, but we shall see.
I mean, there's almost no. Then we said that with the Miz. I don't know what's gonna happen. That's a
right.
That's a messy situation.
Yes, it is.
So, but everything about this storyline does point to him getting in the ring and seemingly, most likely, with Shane. Although, man, that'd be a tough match for a guy with Daniel Bryan's concussion history against Shane with his, you know, reckless style. It would Ugh. I don't know if I want to see that.
Well, I think that I definitely think that they can manage. So, yeah, I guess you're right. Like, the Miz situation certainly screamed that it was going to happen. So, I don't know if, he's been able to convince the WWE otherwise, in the meantime here, between that time and now, that, his neck is indeed okay and he can get back into the ring. I would think that he would not make regular appearances.
Right? No, 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 no. His days as a full time in ring performer. Absolutely.
So, yeah, that is kind of the big thing on SmackDown. But I mean, I guess you could tell that they were coming back from a pay-per-view and that they won't have any storyline until after the Royal Rumble for the most part. You know, AJ Styles will have a story because he will assuredly defend the belt at the show. Right.
But they did absolutely nothing last night to indicate what direction they're going there. They treated it like they're like a holiday episode, just you know. For other than a few things, they kept it light. They, you know, babyfaces went over in the main event. Babyfaces hit all their finishes, won clean and decisively. Celebrated after the show for like 3 minutes. They had, you know, there was like, pause my recording just to see how, after the three count, like how much more time they had. It was like 3 minutes remaining. I'm like, okay, I guess there's an angle coming, but no, they just let them. It was like Hogan in the 80s or Austin with beer in the 90s. It was just a love fest.
Except it was not nearly as entertaining as either of the things that you just mentioned.
No, I did not. No. It was not at all. It was more of a holiday themed episode. I was kind of surprised they did nothing in the direction of who's going to be challenging AJ Styles at the Royal Rumble. Right now, I really don't know. There's no one really totally obvious. They did Styles and Owens to death over the U.S. title for the U.S. title over the summer. I don't know if they feel that highly about Sami Zayn. Jinder's definitely done, has to be done. You know, you go with a babyface match or turn Nakamura or Orton. Have a match at Royal Rumble? I don't know. So, and they led you in no direction last night, which is surprising.
Yeah, I guess again, that direction kind of has some time, so.
Right.
You know, I guess a little surprising, but you know, they certainly have the time to make up for it. Because though Raw will be on Christmas Day, SmackDown will be the day after Christmas, so everything's okay to do a show then, right? yeah, because, and I'm trying to think. Oh my gosh! I've got to admit, another match to me that went maybe a little too easily for one team was I was ready to call them American Alpha, but that's not the team name anymore. But Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin making short work of the Usos on SmackDown this week.
Yeah, that was short work, as you said, to the degree that it just didn't seem believable. I don't think that you're still, even when they get around to doing the tag title match, that you're going to have a large contingent of people who truly believe in Benjamin and Gable. And I know it sounds silly to say it, but it just seemed fake.
Yeah, that win just seemed, it did seem artificial. Like, the Usos need to put up more of a fight, or even just the fact that Gable and Benjamin have been doing their fair share of cheating recently. So I don't know why you don't incorporate that into the match, so that, not that the baby faces ever complain about that, but you kind of have a reason to dislike the heel team moving into the tag team championship situation.
Right, it's something, it rang hollow. And Benjamin hasn't been impressive enough. All that impressive in a very long time. And Gable and Jordan never should have broken up. That's pretty much the bottom line.
I still really like Gable a lot.
I do like Gable.
Because that was the one thing that I was very thankful for. The next, on Monday there on Ye Olde Twitter, they showed him ragdolling Rusev around and then throwing him into a German suplex. I was just like, you gotta be kidding me, man. Because that was almost all him, because he had had him cinched up by the waist and had already had his hips pulled back and Rusev's feet weren't on the ground. It's like, God damn, man. He is really impressive.
Yeah. Gable's really, really good. Yeah, just something about this. Yeah, just something about this team with Benjamin just not clicking.
Well,
and
they've never had that moment where you're like, oh, I understand why they connect, like. Because I was even lobbying for him to be annoying to Shelton Benjamin, and then, you know, just like he was to Jordan, and then finally Jordan's like, oh, okay, I'm ready, willing, and Gable. He didn't need to use that, but him and Benjamin have never kind of had that really coming together moment. It's just like, oh, yeah, they're both wrestlers, so they're good together.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. They were put together by Daniel Bryan to make them team up. Yeah, it's right. They've never had them a moment that made you feel like, you know, they belong together as a team.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think if there was anything else that was kind of big news there on SmackDown, because I'm kind of leaning towards no.
No, not really. Dolph.
Again, since I let the alerts come through my phone. I did see the results from Clash of Champions, and much to my surprise, it came across my screen that Dolph Ziggler won the, because I'm trying to think, if that's, is that the U.S. title that's over there? I'm so terrible at this.
Is that the U.S. title.
Okay, yeah, I thought The Miz had the IC title, and now it's with Reigns. Hold on. Where the hell was I? we're both getting tired.
Ziggler won in a surprise.
But yeah, it's just one of those things. Is that do they just like to put him in bad spots? Do they find this entertaining? I guess I just don't get it. Like, you buried this guy over the past like year and a half. Why are you giving him a title run? Or a non-title run? Like, because that was the other weird thing, I guess. Like, he left the title in the ring. Like, I guess was he wasn't retiring after winning the title, was he? Like, there hasn't been any speculation of that sort, has there been?
Well, after Clash of Champions, the women's title match, Natalya did her, walkout speech about being disrespected by the WWE and the WWE universe. So now Ziggler's done his. I guess it has to be a related storyline, because there's just... I hope they wouldn't do the same storyline with two different people, and not have it, interwoven together.
Yeah, that would be almost as weird as two three-woman groups invading each brand on the same week.
Oh, man. So, now I have less faith that they're not going to do the same thing with two people on the same show. It's just putting Dolph Ziggler in a crappy spot.
Not that I thought his speech was anything great, but I mean, it's the same material that he's been doing for a while now. Like, why does anyone think that this is going to work?
You're asking the wrong guy. I gave up on him a long time ago.
So, yeah, that was worth bringing up, but it's just such a head scratcher about what they're doing with it. Even I gave up on my fellow Golden Flash, which it took a lot for that to happen, but it's still in place. And I guess I don't get it, because I thought that they had kind of finally invested and were going with Baron Corp. And I guess that's the other part of the equation. Like, I thought to myself, I'm like, oh, okay, they're finally getting behind Baron Corbin. And him losing, I'm like, oh, well, what's happening to Baron Corbin now?
Yeah, and he was not on SmackDown at all. It's a head scratcher. Stop. The problem with the WWE creative for years and years and years, all these start-stop pushes. And running hot and cold on people from week to week, and a number of people are in bad situations. You got a guy like Dolph who has absolutely just been beaten down by it all, and then a guy like Corbin who,
if he sticks around long enough, will be beaten down by it all.
Oh my goodness. I can't even imagine how bad a Baron Corbin who isn't even trying anymore would be.
It's one of those situations where it seemed like it was ripe for Corbin to get the predictable, the champion's percentages aren't good, and look at that, the champion overcame the odds again.
I think everyone expected a Corbin retention there, and that's not what happened. And now, I guess the title might be vacant. They didn't really focus. That wasn't really anything of importance that they focused on. That one of their championships might have just been vacated. I don't know if they brought it up again for the rest of the night.
Yeah, they just moved right along.
Yeah. If they don't care, I don't know why I'm supposed to.
Well, grandkids, hopefully you cared for this episode, and if you did, you can rate and review us on your favorite way to listen to the show. This is at Frango11, that is at Chris Calamita, the brand is at Stunt Granny. Have a good night.
Later.